So what we've actually seen is when it comes to HVAC equipment, we're seeing the biggest increase that we've ever going to see come January 1 of 2023. They're already quoting us anywhere from 30% to 40% price increase because of these new changes in efficiency, freons that actually have to take place in testing measures.
He describes himself as being in the middle of the green revolution. And today we'll find out how that's working in the place all of us spend most of our time, our homes. Welcome to another NFIB California podcast. I'm Tony Melandra, NFIB California's senior media manager. We're proud to have this podcast supported in part by Five Star Bank, serving customers through specialized banking solutions for entrepreneurs, business owners, and community leaders in Northern California. Each podcast invites a special guest to speak on a topic of his or her expertise. Today's guest will provide an overview of home energy solutions from his perspective of assisting homeowners in the conversion. Here to introduce him is John Kabatek, NFIB California State Director. Welcome, John.
Thanks so much, Tony. Today we are proud to welcome Dwayne Knickerbocker, President and co-owner of Brower Mechanical, a commercial and residential heating, ventilation and air conditioning, or HVAC, solar and energy assessment company that's based in Rockland, California. Mm-hmm. Jeff Brower started the company in 1979, and Dwayne became a partner in 1989, and they've seen it grow to more than 100 employees. The company specializes in maximizing energy efficiency, and Dwayne is recognized as a leader in the field, earning recognition from both PG&E and the Sacramento Municipal Utility Districts for the highest levels of performance. Dwayne, it's our pleasure to have you with us here today to discuss some of the challenges of serving homeowners as a small business. Welcome.
No, thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm super excited.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. Well, hey, first of all, tell us a little bit about Brower Mechanical. How have you come to be recognized as one of the leaders in home energy efficiency?
Like you said, my partner started it in 1979, and we were just fortunate to be in Sacramento. We have distinct summers. We have distinct winters. The disposable income in Sacramento is good, and the need is really good for our products. We started off as an HVAC company, like you alluded to, and just things grew, you know, as you know, people needed more efficient homes, and they needed energy efficient items and the ability to produce and store energy. So our homes needed something to be able to control our bills. So we were in charge of our own destiny, not just in the utility's destiny.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. And I mean, gosh, you're right. You talk about the climate's going hot, they go cold. I mean, you guys are in need all around. We were talking about just even during just this COVID crisis. I mean, you just held steady because people need you. They need you all the time. So...
No, you're right. And it wasn't just HVAC contractors. It was every contractor that was tied to somebody's home. You know, before we were spending money on restaurants and traveling and doing all that fun stuff. And then all of a sudden we were, you know, had to stay at home. And so we looked to spend that money and we spent it on our homes because that's where we were the majority of the time. We were working from home. We were spending more time there. The whole staycations took place. So, yes, you know, we all the contractors that are tied to homes really took off in that pandemic time frame.
I can't watch Netflix if my house is 112 degrees. I won't do it. You know, Dwayne, there's a lot of talk about solar energy and really what it means for our future in a cleaner carbon footprint. Now, what are you seeing on the solar front right now? What's happening?
You know, with anything new that rolls out, most of the time you see that old bell curve, right? You got the early adopters, the guys that want all that new stuff, and then you got the early majority. Those are the people that kind of learn from the early adopters, and then we have the late majority, and then we have the laggers, right? Those are the people do not do anything until it's tried and true. When it comes to solar, what we're actually seeing is we're in that late majority right now. So the majority of the people have actually done it. They feel safe and comfortable with the technology. They've talked to other people that have had it done. So we're seeing that, you know, a lot of people have done, the majority have actually done it. Now, the other thing that's forcing people's hands to it is the utility companies, you know, because they're continually raising the rates, you know, especially when we're getting into PG&E territory. They're very good at that. And, you know, they're having to update the grid in these fire-prone areas. So another you know, rate increase we're going to be seeing is because they're mandated to put 10,000 miles in high prone fire areas of the electrical lines underground. So 10,000 wow. miles. Think about that one. That's from here to New York and back wow. and back to Colorado. All that underground the next 10 years. So that's a cost. Where's that cost going to be passed on to? Of course, it's going to be passed on to the ratepayer. So, you know, the utility game, you know, when it comes to giving our electrons, the things that we love so much in our homes, you know, we just have to understand that maybe I want to be in control of that destiny, not in just, you know, their hands on how they want to roll it out to us.
A lot of people don't know still about solar power, right? Mm-hmm. Solar utilities and resources and stuff. There's still, many are still in the dark about it, you know. And I know California likes to think of itself as a leader on environmental issues, that's for sure, and really tries to back that up with these types of things like pro-solar tax incentives and these kinds of rebates and these things. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, what does that mean, Dwayne, and is it working, I guess, first of all? And then is it a burden to small businesses from your perspective, or do they think it's a benefit?
Well, there's a lot of moving parts there. You know, so the first one is that I was fortunate enough, there's a rebate administrator for PG&E that they took me to Austin and Nashville and New Orleans and basically just asking how do we get contractors and utility companies to be able to work together? And so there were some common denominators that I got to experience by going to these different cities that I actually saw. So the first one is every utility company told me that if they could go rip out every air conditioner on every single building and every single home, that they would be more profitable. Well, I mean, that's not going to happen, right? But and then we hear this problem, you know, we look at when do we actually have the flex your power alerts? You know, because we hear all the time that, oh, the grid can't handle all this extra electricity. Well, it's not that the grid can't handle it. It can't handle it when it's 104 degrees out and it's on a Tuesday and it's between 4 and 8 o'clock. That's when that grid's taxed. And so, yes, we can do more with these electrical items if we just look at when we're getting the electricity. The other thing that everyone that I went to is they told me that in every single city that the electrical company's best customer was the water district, and the water district's best company was the utility company that supplied power. So we look at, you know, it takes a lot of energy to get water to our homes is what, you know, the utility companies were telling me. Right. The other thing that was a takeaway is how much water, and that's a big concern right now, how much water it takes to make electricity. So to make just, you know, to run the average hair dryer for an hour, it takes about 25 gallons of water to make that power. And then the grid's not very efficient, so we need to develop 3 kilowatts to get that one at our home. So we really need to develop about 75 gallons of water to get that 1 kilowatt that we can use at our house. So these things of understanding, you know, how do we get, you know, energy efficient? How do we store that energy at our house to use it at the right time? How do we actually deploy a solar system that is just like having a power generator at our house so that we're not distributing that power over the grid? So there absolutely is ways to curtail this and make it work. We just have to have a little bit more education and understanding how all these things tie together. We got, you know, we got smart meters at our homes. We have a grid and we have our home, but none of it talks. None of it knows what's going on. So the next thing that we need to do is get that smart grid and tie it into a smart home. And then we've got two-way communication all the way from the power district all the way to our homes. Then the grid will become very, very efficient and we don't have to worry about these brownouts or power outages.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, at the time of this discussion, our podcast, we're in June of 2022 mm-hmm. right now. And you know, I just know the summer is getting hot. Just driving over here, my AC in my car was blasting me. I think I have icicles down my eyebrows here. But, you know, it's getting hot. And, mm-hmm. you know, I guess talking about the grid for a minute, you know, a lot of people out there also, the grid is kind of an ethereal, kind of ambiguous concept. A lot of people talk about, you know, it being impacted and it being, you know, it's one more wildfire or one more, we're just one step away from a brownout or a blackout.
It can't handle cars because it's so jeopardized already. Yes, exactly. Hear all that. And it's just understanding that, you know, most cars consume about, you know, when it comes to an electric car, it consumes about the same amount of electricity as an air conditioner does. Mm-hmm. So if the grid can run the air conditioning and only we're having that problem during that peak time, the car's not going to be running during peak time. It's not going to be consuming power, at that peak time. It's going to be consuming power at, from midnight to 8 o'clock in the morning when the grid has plenty of capacity.
Good to know. Well, you know, many of the HVAC companies have seen significant growth in business, as you were saying. You know, things have worked well for you and I'm sure others. Since the pandemic began, as you said, homeowners are staying home, whether they're watching Netflix or not, meaning, you know, a need for greater comfort in the living environment. You know, many of these folks are staying at home and a bigger need for comfort. What's it been like trying to keep up with the demand, Dwayne, and just servicing those needs? You know, it's
so
crazy.
It is. And
good
so,
thing.
and I call it the pendulum. You know, in business, you know, how often is that pendulum just at that just right point?
Right.
And that just right point is when your marketing's working just right, when you have the proper amount of leads, you have the proper amount of sales staff, you have the proper amount of equipment to be able to get to your customers, you have the proper amount of back-end support, the proper amount of installers. When, how often does that happen when everything's right there? It doesn't. It's you're constantly, that pendulum's on one side or the other, and you're constantly working on problems. That's what I always tell everybody. If you want to be good at business, just figure out how to be a good problem solver, because that's what you do. Opportunity manager and a problem solver. Those are the two things that you really want to master running a business. So, you know, just understanding. So right now, like you said, you know, the HVAC world, its problem right now is getting product, because the actual United States is being divided north and south. And so what the our new government's actually said is hey, everything in the north, we want to have high-efficiency heating and low-efficiency air conditioning. Everything in the south, we want to have high-efficiency air conditioning with standard-efficiency heating. So the manufacturers are having to change the way that they're manufacturing product today for 2023. So they can't sell any of the product, the majority of the product that they make today, they will not be able to sell in January of 2023. So they're already starting to scale back on what they're producing, because they know in September they don't want their manufacturer to receive any of this product, because they got to get ready for the new product. And we already have product supply chain problems already, compounded by this new change that's taken place. So what we've actually seen is, when it comes to HVAC equipment, we're seeing the biggest increase that we've ever going to see come January 1 of 2023. They're already quoting us anywhere from 30% to 40% price increase because of these new changes in efficiency, freons that actually have to take place, and testing measures.
Wow. Tell us a little bit. We talked about products, right? And cost. We just learning again in the summer of 2022, President Biden, I guess, just announced this lifting this tariff on HVAC products coming in from foreign sources. Well, tell us a little bit about that, and what does that mean for not just the industry, but for you and for others out there?
So I find that one so interesting, because if you look at, you know, we do insulation, windows, solar, HVAC, electrical, plumbing, all those businesses, except for solar, I've had supply issues. The only product matrix in my business that I haven't seen supply issues is solar. And what's the one that they're lifting? Solar. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, I got to find out why.
Where
because
that came from.
We have not had any issues getting product, you know, any of the railings, any of the inverters, any of the panels. The solar side has been the least affected of all the products that we offer to homeowners.
Would you say you speak for a lot of folks in your industry, that's not been a big challenge? I mean, it's kind of perplexing. But for your company,
for me, I know for you all, has not been an issue of all the stuff. But yes, it's so be interesting to see how this rolls out.
It is going to be interesting. You know, what other, speaking of supply chain issues, how has that affected you? You know, I talked to our NFIB small business owners, and it has been a challenge. I remember back in December of 2021, people saying, you know, we haven't seen the worst of it yet. How has that affected you? Is it, you know, how have you dealt with it, if it has been a problem? How's that come to light?
No, you know, customers have been very acceptant that you're not able to, for whatever the reason, maybe you have to bump them out further in the time frame to secure that product. Or maybe they wanted this type of product, and to get it in a timely manner, they have to look at this other type of product. And they've been very accommodating. Everybody's, well, not everybody, almost everybody's been very open to the idea of making changes that actually take place in their homes for the choices that they wanted, and either waiting a substantial amount of time or changing it to something different that still met their needs.
Yeah. Boy, I remember the toilet paper panic at the early stages COVID, and that perplexed me. You talk about being perplexed. I was, what's going on? Stock it up. Let's talk about issues facing your business, just challenges. You know, you've obviously held pretty steady these past few years, and business is good, to say the very least, and that's great. Knock on wood. What have been some challenges, Dwayne? What are some of the challenges that are facing your business and your industry these days?
So what I find interesting, if we just turn the clocks back, you know, a year, 6 months ago, it was the labor side of it, you know, a little bit in materials and equipment. And that pendulum is slowly swung to where labor's not the component right now. Right now, it's just all the changes that are taking place in the HVAC industry, trying to secure the right product for the right customer, or even being able to get, you know, some product for the customer. So we've never had to make as many bulk purchases ahead of time in stocking like we had to do now. Because what a shame it is you spend all that money, time, energy, and resources to get a customer to want to do business with you, and you can't get the product. You got the labor, you know, you did the sale, everything you got, you just can't get the product. So we've had to put out a sizable investment this year just in being able to get equipment so that we have it for when the customers need it or want it.
Hi, I'm James Beckwith, President and CEO of Five Star Bank. We are excited to help bring you this series of podcasts focused on small business concerns in conjunction with the NFIB. When Five Star Bank was founded in 1999, it was business and community leaders, local entrepreneurs, who wanted to create the sort of personalized banking services they desired themselves. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. A true understanding of the needs of small business owners. I know a meaningful relationship with a banker can be hard to find. At Five Star Bank, we are responsive, understand your business, and are committed to your success. We want to be a part of your growth and a valued partner supporting your vision and your dreams. You'll find direct access to a banker, complete online and mobile business banking you need to succeed. As an SBA preferred lender, let us help you with your startup business or existing business. If you're looking to make a change, please give us the opportunity to demonstrate what our personalized banking services could mean for you. I promise you individual attention from our colleagues who understand your business and are as committed to your success as you are. You can find us online at fivestarbank.com.
One thing I'd love to talk about is just, I always love to talk about is just, you know, kind of the generation that's coming into the industry. You know, people looking for work, people who are kind of the apprentices and those who are getting into this whole HVAC and solar industry. What is the industry doing to help promote, recruit, train, and develop, you know, not just young people, but people of every age who, you know, how are you going about that? And are you seeing a lot of opportunity provided to them and training to keep them?
So if you look back just, you know, a couple years ago, it was brutally tough to get, you know, individuals to look at the trades. It's changed within the last couple years. You know, they're looking at the, you know, college, and the wages have went up dramatic for tradespeople. And I think that's part of the reason why it's got their attention. You know, hey, I can come out of high school and I can make $20, $25 an hour and not have to go to college and have that debt and everything. So the wages coming up in the actual blue-collar trades has actually got a lot of people's attention to where they're coming into the trades, looking at it as a viable option instead of trying to figure out some other way or something to do.
A lot of opportunity, too.
Oh, there is.
A four-year track is a great track, but for people across the nation, it's not the only track. And for many, they could be making six figures well into a few years into the job. But there's a lot the industry is doing to train and develop, and that's great. That's really exciting. You know, California regulations, a lot of people talk about the albatross of regulations here or laws that are, you know, have they gotten in your way? How have they gotten in your way of being more productive? And, you know, what are some of those issues you're dealing with when it comes to these challenges of regulations and rules and such?
Our biggest challenges in that arena, hands down every single time, is that the state or the Fed will come, primarily the state, will come out with a new rebate program. And they will, and the rebate programs for, you know, energy or storage or any of these things, they either are a huge success or they're a huge failure. They're never in that middle ground. So you got to figure out before you jump in and say, I'm in, which one's this going to be? Because if it's a huge success, well, then they pull the rug out from underneath you. You know, and you got customers that this just happened to us. You know, a month ago, California had this tech rebate. And this rebate was fairly large for homeowners to look and go take get rid of natural gas in their home and convert to electricity to heat their home, cook their food, heat their water. And these rebates were $10,000, $12,000 for a homeowner to be able to do, sizable amounts of money. Well, the great program, very, you know, a lot of people are jumping on board with it. They pulled the trigger, they pulled the rug out and didn't give us any notice. And so then you've got these awkward conversations with homeowners that, I'm sorry, I can't get you this rebate. What do you want to do? So these utility rebate programs, we just need to find a way to kind of hit that middle ground. I know it's difficult because that middle ground is usually failure instead of success, but figuring out a different way than just having these things be huge successes and having us be the bad guys. I mean, the program maybe lasted, you know, 5 months and it was out of money. And yeah, it had, you know, hundreds of million dollars associated to it, which is a lot of money, but to last 5 months is just hurtful.
Hurtful. Walk me through this, you know, because I'm learning so much on this. I really appreciate it. Walk me through it. I'm a small business owner. Okay. I have a retail store. Or I have a cookie store. And I've had, you know, kind of brick and mortar. I've never had the solar thing going. How does Brower walk a small business owner through it? And what are the net benefits? You know, let's tell a lot of our listeners out there, mm-hmm. especially the small business owners, mm-hmm. you know, how you walk a typical prospect through that and how that works. And then really, and most importantly, the net benefit of that, you know, especially these days.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why you don't see commercial solar as prevalent as you do in homes, is because most of the time the cookie store owner rents his building. He doesn't own it.
True.
And so therefore the benefit to the owner is not there to provide the cookie shop lower utility bills.
Yeah.
So in commercial, not a whole bunch of people own their building.
Yeah.
And so, but if they do, then yes, then there's, you know, advantages that can be looked at, because commercial solar not only gets a tax credit, but you get to depreciate 100% of the cost over the 7 to 9 years, depending on your tax accountant and understanding of the maker. So anyway, you get the 26% tax credit. You get to depreciate 100% of it over somewhere between 7 and 9 years. So it makes it very, very attractive for building. If you own the building and your business is in that building, and that's the tough thing, trying to find owners of buildings that occupy the space that they're actually
and
in.
So many rent. I mean, I think with NFIB, you know, our small business, and I think nationally, you know, it's a significant number. Mm-hmm. Majority of them, you know, rent or lease. But with homeowners, I mean, let's say you're, I have a home office.
There you go.
But it's also the place I sleep, and I get, and especially these days with COVID, right? The place you're waking up and walking into another room.
I would be 50 pounds heavier if you had a cookie shop at home.
Yeah. I'm coming over to make chocolate chips. But for homeowners as well, the benefit, you're telling the homeowners out there who are listening, which we're all, or homeowners or renters, but mostly homeowners, there's a great net benefit to really going solar, especially come tax time, but certainly year round.
Yes, and that tax, you know, credit's dropping next year, is slated to be dropping from, it's not a, you know, huge deal. It's going from 26 to 22%, so not a reason to, you know, jump out and get it today if you're not ready for it. But it is, you know, 4% more expensive next year than it is this year. But just like you're talking about, there are benefits if you want to be control of your destiny, because, you know, when you get solar, you're locking in your utility rates for the next, you know, 20 years.
We do, at the NFIB, we've done studies over the years, and I think one in recent years showed that 45% of small business owners actually take measures to make their businesses more energy efficient, whether they're renters or owners, but they're trying to make it more energy efficient for the cost of the, but also for the efficiency of the place. But, as a proponent, Dwayne, of doing things that, with a lot of sensitivity to the environment and energy consumption, but also pro-business, what are those things that small business owners could do to both, minimize the carbon footprint and, frankly, reduce their expense? What steps could they take?
So personally, we like to lead by example. So the things that we do is, when it comes to the HVAC, any of the products that we sell, we recycle everything that we do. Personally, I try to reduce as much waste to landfill as possibly can. So not any of the things that I can do other things with instead of putting in the trash can, absolutely do. My home in Lincoln is a net zero home. And when I mean net zero, I mean I have no gas. Everything's done with electricity, and that electricity is supplied with solar. So walk the walk, talk the talk. Also a committee member of Cool Davis. So we're in Davis. We try to get Davis residents to understand the benefits of going electric, and through education, through different workshops and different things that are going on that are put on by the committee. And then just getting Davis to understand all the things that can be done with electricity. That's really a better quality of life. A lot of the times right. We think that, we have to have gas because maybe the quick heat or the way we cook, we like it. Electricity can do a better job and have a better quality of life and be done with all renewables.
Small business owners are crawling out of this hole known as COVID, right? And just trying to get back on track and survive and just trying to hang on. What advice would you give to either an existing small business owner who's just trying to keep that dream alive and moving forward, or somebody who's thinking about it, even in these crazy days, who's thinking about kind of implementing their dream and putting it into action? What's the advice you give as a successful business owner?
So if you're trying to implement your dream, the thing I would suggest, don't talk to family and friends about your dream. It's amazing how many people want to rain on your parade, right? They don't take the time to understand everything that you know and what you're trying to do to move forward in whatever that endeavor is.
Interesting.
Humans, I don't know what it is. We just want to tell you all the reasons why you can't do something or you shouldn't do something. Don't listen to them. Listen to what's in your gut. If your gut is telling you it's something that you can make it, you can do, keep moving towards your dream. Keep that momentum going in that direction. The last thing that you can do is listen to the naysayers, the ones that want to rain on that parade. So just keep moving in the right direction.
That's awesome. That's really awesome advice, and that has driven you to move forward more, but keep listening to your inner light and your inner voice.
Great. Well, I learned that from experience. It was my mother-in-law and father-in-law that when I wanted to become a partner with Jeff, what they said, no, how many businesses go out of business in the first year? All the reasons why you shouldn't. So I experienced it firsthand. And so, yes, just keep going. If you know it's something right, keep going.
Just tell us your thoughts about the Brower Mechanical family, just the workers, the people who are the team there that works for you. It's always great to hear about, that's the lifeblood that keeps any organization going. But what are your thoughts about them?
Again, that's another thing that I feel very fortunate is being located in Sacramento and just having the team that we have when it comes from all the way from the people that answer the phone.
Hi, it's the great day at Brower Mechanical. This is Monica. How can I help you?
All the way through the people that are processing it. I've actually had, 4 people retire from Brower Mechanical now? So it's just great to have
awesome.
That type of tenure and to be able to have that involvement with these people over such a long period of time. You just know them inside and out, and it's just a great, great thing. It's one of those things that I look forward to every morning that I wake up. It's not, I got to go to work. It's I get to go to work. I just love the environment. I love the people. So just very, very fortunate.
That's very cool. Very, very cool. Cool. I'm saying that to an HVAC guy. But you're hot. You're also hot, Dwayne. So grateful to have you today.
Nope.
And so grateful for the example you set. And just sounds like just such a dream that has evolved into so opportunities for so many jobs opportunities out there, but so many great things you're doing for the community as well. I will tell you, I'm a big believer in the egregious plug. So if people really want to and should access Brower Mechanical, how can they get in touch?
So websites, browermechanical.com. Phone number is 916-624-0808. My cell phone's 916-417-2569. So whatever media you choose to call us, if you have any questions or thoughts, love to hear them.
Wow, you got his cell phone, everybody. Watch out. Watch out now, Dwayne. You got it. Well, Dwayne Knickerbocker, thank you so much. Great example, great story, and we wish you
Appreciate it.
I won't say a long, hot summer, but we'll wish you a very successful summer. And thanks again so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Dwayne Knickerbocker, for your informative insights on this podcast. Again, we'd like to thank Five Star Bank for its generous support of this and future podcasts. You can learn more about the bank at fivestarbank.com. You can find all NFIB California podcasts at nfib.com/ca/podcasts. You can also find our podcast on your favorite podcast app by searching NFIB California. I would also like to thank Multipoint Content Strategies for its production of this podcast. You can learn more about them at multipointstrategies.com. Why podcasts for small business? It's been NFIB's educational mission for nearly 80 years to remind policymakers that small businesses are not smaller versions of big businesses, and that a one-size-fits-all rule, regulation, or tax can do Main Street enterprises more harm than good. We hope these podcasts aid in better understanding. Finally, thank you to our listeners. If you like what you heard, please share this episode, subscribe, and give us a positive rating. We would appreciate it.